In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and verse 24, the Bible says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible teaches us that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it with the ability that God giveth. That God in all things through Jesus Christ may be glorified. Dominion, praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So brothers and sisters and friends this morning, we hope and pray this morning that as the word of God is being preached this morning, that each and every one of you will be edified from the preaching of God's word. And through the preaching of God's word, then God will be glorified. It's good to see each and every one here this morning to listen to a portion of God's word. My subject is the Sermon on the Mount. In my humble opinion, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is some of the greatest teaching that we will ever find in this Bible. This is Jesus Christ teaching on the Mount. And Luke gives us a more detail than Matthew concerning the preaching on the Mount. The Bible teaches us that Jesus went into the Mount and he prayed all night. And after he finished praying, that morning he came down and chose his 12 disciples. It was a great multitude that followed Jesus because they wanted to hear more about God's word. But Jesus took the 12 disciples that he had chosen and he taught them privately. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, what Jesus taught the 12 disciples. Notice what he taught them in Matthew 5. And we'll start at verse 13. This is what Jesus taught his disciples, Matthew 5 and verse 13. And I use this scripture for the scripture reading. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And he says that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it is given light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Won't let those scriptures this morning serve as our scripture reading. But before that we go any further into this lesson this morning, we count this as a blessing as well as a privilege to be able to just to talk to our Heavenly Father this morning. So at this time, let us humble ourselves as the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 verses 13 and 16, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he used these two basic essentials to life, salt and light. Notice what salt is. Salt preserves from corruption. Salt is used for healing. Salt is used for seasoning. Salt in Jesus' day also was used for salt worth. In other words, soldiers were paid with salt. Have you ever heard the term, in the older days, people would say, you're not worth the salt in your bread? It's speaking of what you're worth. And salt also used on those days for salt worth. But the Bible teaches us, but if the salt has lost his saltiness, it is good for nothing to be cast out. The disciples of Jesus Christ, and that's us, the disciples of Jesus Christ preserve the world from being totally rotten or corrupted. The disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us, so too, if those who are the salt of the earth lose our Christian influence, then what are we good for if we lose our Christian influence? But the Bible says, but to be cast out. You know, the book of Revelation 3 and verse 15 and 16 teaches us about that. When the apostle John the Revelator spoke about being cast out, when he was speaking, so the angels of the Lord spoke to that church in Laodicea, it says that, I rather that you were cold or hot, but because that you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's what happened when we lose our Christian influence. Notice in Matthew 5 and 14, it's amazing that this teaching that Jesus did on the Mount is still applicable to us today as children of God. He told his disciples, say, ye are the light of the world. And the business of the church is not only to save, but also to enlighten. The Bible teaches us that Christ is light. And so therefore, we as children of God must be light. 1 John chapter 1, 5 and 7 teaches us about walking in the light because Christ is light. In the ancient cities years back, for the sake of defense, cities were built upon a hill for defense. And you could see that city far off due to its light. And so it is with the child of God. We are light. The church is light. The reason I say that is because people that won't read their Bible will read you. But notice what the Apostle Paul has to say in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we look at that passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 1 and 2. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Notice what he says in verse 2. He said, ye are epistles written in our heart, known and read of all men. He said, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stones, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And that's who we are, brothers and sisters. We are known and read of all men. If you don't think people are reading you, let them find out that you're a Christian and you say something or you do something that you shouldn't do. They'll tell you, I thought you were a Christian. So they'll read you when they won't read their Bibles. And the Bible teaches us that through the Holy Ghost of God wrote his law in our heart. He didn't write it on the table of stones like he did on Mount Sinai on tables of stones. He wrote his law in our hearts. And through the Holy Ghost of God, we are able to keep that law. We are living epistles known and read of all men. And this is the teaching that Jesus taught his disciples on the mount. I want us to move now to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 1. And these are Bible principles that Jesus is teaching that will help us as we journey through this life. And one day we will stand before God. These are the Bible principles that you and I need to really dig into and keep them in our hearts. Notice what he says in the book of Matthew chapter 6. In verse 1, we read down through verse 4. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He said, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. He said, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He said, but when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And this word alms in the Bible is another word for it is gifts. And Jesus is not talking about so much of the secrecy. He's talking about sounding a trumpet when we do our righteousness, or when we do our alms before men. Sounding our trumpet so we can be seen. If that's what our object is, it doesn't do us any good. If it's all for show, are we just trying to get a pat on our back? That doesn't do us any good. Our Father doesn't reward us for that. He's teaching us don't sound a trumpet when we help someone that is in need or when we give. Don't sound that trumpet. Jesus is teaching disciples on how to give. He says that that pat on the back is not going to get us to where God is. Now I want us to also, look at Matthew chapter 7. The book of Matthew chapter 7. I just want to notice what Jesus is teaching here. In verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 5, and we'll come to the conclusion of the lesson. I may bring in a few of the scriptures to tie into this subject. But notice what Jesus is teaching here. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. Now, when we look at that scripture, and I hear this quite a bit. Judge not that ye be not judged. Well, this word judge can be used in more than one sense. But it's very plain this morning what Jesus is teaching. He's teaching about hypocritical judging. That's what he's teaching. Notice what he says here. He says that, judge not that ye be not judged. He says, but with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. Now, who's going to measure to you this again on how you judge? Not man, but God. God is the one that will do the judging, the ultimate judging. But I want us to notice that Jesus does not prohibit the civil judgment of the courts upon evildoers, because the whole Bible that we read approved this throughout the whole Bible. Jesus does not prohibit the judgment of the church through his members upon those who walk disorderly. For both Jesus and the apostles have commanded this. Jesus does not forbid those private judgments that we are compelled to form of wrongdoers. But Jesus himself tells us that we are to judge men by their fruits. I want to look at the Matthew while we're in Matthew chapter 7. We want to look at verse 15 through 20. Notice what Jesus says. He says, beware of false prophets. And this word prophet, when we see prophet, Jesus is speaking of false teachers. False teachers. He said, beware of a false prophet which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Say, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. He said, but every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. He says, wherefore, he said, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, at this time, Jesus was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. But he tells us how that we are to judge men. Now, we know that we can't judge anybody hard. We don't know what people are thinking until they tell us. We just can't look at a person and judge them by their heart. And, you know, the Bible tells us that I have a clear understanding of the scriptures. Only God can do that. Because he says only the pure in heart shall see God. God knows that heart. Just like God knows what you're thinking about me this morning. He knows. And he knows what I'm thinking about you. God knows that. We can't judge your heart. But the Bible tells us that we can judge men by their fruit. And what Jesus is saying this morning is, don't go by the profession, what people profess. He said, look at that fruit. If you want to know what kind of tree that bears a certain kind of fruit, brothers and sisters and friends, don't look at the leaves. You look at that fruit that tree is bearing. That's how you know what kind of tree that is by the fruit that it bears. And that's how we know how men are, is by the fruit that they bear. Look at that fruit. And if we don't want to use the word judge, what about fruit inspectors? We can be fruit inspectors. If we don't want to use the word judge, we can judge that fruit. The Bible tells us to. What Jesus condemns and what he prohibits is rash and uncharitable judgment. He condemns and forbids a fault-finding spirit, a disposition or plan to condemn without examination of the charges. That's what Jesus condemned. I want us to notice something in this book here. He says that in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 7, he says, "And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" You know, what Jesus is talking about this morning is that spirit of, you see, a mote is something that's small. It's like a splinter. And we said, let me get that splinter out of your eye. When in our own eyes, we have a log in our own eyes that extends from Longwood to Chicago. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I say that. But what I'm saying this morning is that a beam is something that's large. And that's what Jesus is saying about this fault-finding spirit. We're trying to get the splinter out of someone's eye when we have a log in our own eye. That's what Jesus is saying this morning. Notice what he says. He says in verse 4, say, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye." In verse 5, he says, "Thou hypocrite." That's the word right there. That word is hypocrite. The hypocritical judgment is what Jesus condemns. He said, "Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that's in thy brother's eye." That's that word that Jesus condemned, is that fault-finding spirit. Brothers, sisters, and friends, there is a great principle that runs throughout the moral government of God. The moral government of God. The old people had this right when they say that what goes around comes around. That's what man says. But God says that whatsoever a man soweth. First of all, he says God is not mocked. God is nobody to be laughed at, or to be made fun of. God is not mocked. He said, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Galatians 6 and verse 7. John, 1 John 4 and verse 1 teaches this. John the Revelator. 1 John 4 and verse 1, those who are taking notes. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit." And that word "try" is also test. That's what that word "try" means. It's test. He said, "Believe it not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets, many false teachers are gone out into the world." And what I want to say this morning, that the spirit and word, these two words right here, spirit and word, they are the same. They are synonymous, inseparable. You cannot separate the spirit from the word and say that God told you something. God said this to me. God said that to me, and you don't know the word. Because they're the same. You can't separate the spirit from the word. When a person says that God is talking to them, and they're not telling me what the Bible says, and I don't know who's talking to them. Because these two are the same. How do I know they are the same? Because the Bible tells me so. Come with me to the book of St. John chapter 6 And notice what Jesus said in St. John chapter 6. Jesus says that the flesh profiteth nothing. That's what Jesus told those Jews. St. John chapter 6. And I want us to look at verse 60. St. John chapter 6. And verse 60, I believe, 3. St. John chapter 6 and verse 60. Notice what Jesus says. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word and the spirit is the same. You're not going to be able to separate these two. Jesus says, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Notice what St. John chapter 7 and verse 24 teaches. St. John chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus is teaching. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's how we judge, isn't it? Man is by the appearance. Jesus said, don't judge like that. Judge righteous judgment. Don't judge by how somebody looks. Don't judge that, how they dress, but judge righteous judgment. I'm going to close with this scripture, but I want us to look at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, and we'll close with this one. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, I want us to look at the teaching of the Apostle Paul. 6 down through 3. This is what the Apostle Paul taught. Paul says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Notice what he says in verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Pretty powerful, isn't it? What the Apostle Paul is saying, that one day you and I, if we are faithful, when Jesus judges us and we go to be with him, when we sit with Jesus, while Jesus is judging this world, we will be able to judge the angels with Jesus. Now, he's not talking about the good angels. He's talking about those evil angels. One day that we will sit with Jesus. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, 16 and 17, tell us that when Jesus come with that shout and we meet him in the clouds that are still living, and those that are dead shall rise and meet him in the sky, we will be with Jesus forevermore, that we will never be without Jesus. He will always be there with us while he judges the world. Brothers and sisters, we as children of God, we have been blessed beyond measures. And I know sometimes we don't think of that, because I hear some people say sometimes that, you know, well, I'm not the judge. Well, no, you're not the ultimate judge. But we can judge. We can judge men by their works, by their fruits. Some people say, well, I'm not a saint. Yes, you are. You're a saint. You're not no sinner. You're a saint. Your name has been changed. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart from the world. Yes, you are a saint. And don't forget that. The lesson is yours. Hopefully something from this lesson this morning will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds. The Bible tells us that we come to Christ by the hearing of his word. And after we hear it, we must believe it. And after we believe it, we must repent. And after we repent, we must make the good confession. And after the good confession, we must be baptized to have our sins washed away. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, we all are children of God by faith. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And this is where we put him on. And don't you let anyone fool you and tell you that you can put on Christ without being baptized. You have to know why you're being baptized. First of all, you've been baptized to have your sins washed away. If you don't know that, then you need to do that. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, these are the five steps that the Bible teaches. Then after you have obeyed these principles and you stumble and fall, you can ask for forgiveness. God is just to forgive you of your sins. And you can come and make things right with God. If you just need prayer this morning while we're singing the chosen selection, you may be subject to the gospel in any manner.